21CL Radio. Welcome to Reflection Friday. Where your hosts, Michael Bowl, Jamie Willett, and Chris Carter reflect on educational technology issues of the day. So sit back, relax, and know that you don't have to think anymore, because we'll be doing that for you. Welcome to Reflection Friday. My name is Michael Bowl, and I'm joined by the ever-quotable Chris Carter. Great to have you here, Chris. How are you today?
I'm doing great. This is... This I will argue and put the chip out there and say, this is the best start of the year I've had since becoming a teacher many years ago.
Do you have like a certain reason you're feeling that way, or it just feels that way? Like, can you point to something?
Oh, sure. I think I can. The sign-up situation where kids get to see what their classes are and then change.
Right.
Our principal took it off his shoulders and actually gave it to the three counselors.
Oh,
and what had taken 2 weeks took 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And so that alone really, you know, was spoke of stability. Plus, he supports what I do with this podcasting, right? And so what happened was, I still have a schedule where I teach three periods, each a different prep, but that's okay. They're great courses. I mean, I got Foundations of Christianity, I've got Morality and Ethics, I've got AP European History.
Oh,
they're
nice.
All challenging in a good way, right? So I'm always pressed for time, but it's a good kind of press for time. I had the single best Harkness discussion I've ever had in terms of students opening up, being completely honest and sharing. And it was a moment where I'm looking around saying, we're really just people now. It's not like even the teacher-student relationship, which is, of course, the respect is there, but the formality began to disappear. And kids were talking about deep, connecting, in this case, utilitarian ethics with their own lives and examples out of things they've read and just pulling it together, making pretty profound discoveries. I was just moved. And so I got great kids. I've got a great schedule. I got a great team. Michael, this is like the best of all possible worlds. I feel like Pangloss over here.
I don't know. You always tend to be pretty positive, so I never know whether to trust you or not, whether, you know, if it could be horrible, but you always find a way to make it sound good while the rest of us might be complaining.
Well, with all this horse poop in the room, there has to be a horse somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So
you're the horse.
of course. You know.
So, yeah, well, my year is, I'm enjoying. I have a new role, as I mentioned probably in the past, as a elementary school technology and learning coach was a totally different kind of thing. Sure. So that's quite a trip. And again, getting to know where, I mean, everybody's nice and I'm enjoying working in the classrooms, but some days I definitely...
Is that different?
Well, some days I feel kind of ineffective because I just don't know where things are and some people ask me something and... Where last year I would have said, oh, yeah, it's this way, that way. And this time I'm like, I have to go find out. So it's kind of a bit of an ego adjustment for me. But it's learning, and I'm sure in a few months I'll look back and say, what a great experience that was to be a brand new person at a new school. But I'm happy with the school, and it's a good place to be. So, you know, foundationally it's great. Just in the short term, it stinks to be new.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think when you go overseas – things as simple as paying the phone bill become a challenge because you don't know how to do it, and the language is different. I mean, everything. Where do I get milk? Who has the best bread? Yeah. Just everything becomes hard, and that can grind. You know, sure, it's just the new move experience.
Yeah, it's nice being in Thailand, though, because the people always smile at you, no matter how clueless you are. They might be laughing, smiling.
I cannot believe this guy. You know,
I'm not sure they're laughing,
but they're nice about it, right? Yeah. As opposed to in Shanghai, they just yell at you. You know, so
yeah. Well, you know, that's the joy of Shanghai. So
that's the joy. That's the joy.
Well, you know, it's good that you started off with this talking about the start of the new year, because our reflection today is things to think about as you start your new school year.
Booyah!
Yeah. And there's, of course, always a lot to think about. And now Jamie isn't here this week because she's starting a new year in Dubai. And at the last minute, she got told about a meeting she had to go to, so she couldn't come online tonight. So I think we'll get her next week. So she's got to get her routines going. But she started school so much later than we did. You know, I'm a month in and you're a month in or so that she's not quite in the groove yet as much as we are.
Yeah, I think I get it. It's tough.
Yeah.
Those first few days are exhausting.
Yeah, they are. Poor kid. So tell us, what do you think then? What are things to think about as you start a new school year? What stuff did you put down this week?
For me, it's implementing all the changes I really want to see. Even when I find a good tech tool, if it's going to take some ramp-up time to teach the kids, I will sometimes hold off and say, you know what, that is the beginning of the school year or change of semester, depending upon where you are.
Okay.
So, yeah, I see the start of the new year, the change of it. This is the time to implement change, right? Be it curricular routines, pedagogical practice. You want to flip, don't do it mid-year. Now's the
So it's that picking up the new tools, you mean?
Time to use it. Really learn it. Absolutely. So, for instance, you know, the AP College Board rewrote the AP Euro, or the College Board rewrote the AP Euro curriculum significantly.
Oh, nice.
Focusing much more on skills. Yeah, much more on skills than in the past. And the content area has become less of a moving target because we know what the key concepts are. We know the specific names and events within each key concept the kids just have to know, right, in order to be successful. So you can really concentrate on skills. So like every day I'm concentrating on skills. And we're building, as a class, study tools where I could offer the kids one of three possible methods. Because, some, you know, creativity loves constraints. I didn't want to say do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I said, look at this flashcard building that I reviewed. And you remember that review. Look at this trading card builder. And you, again, I reviewed that. And look at this BDOX 3D timeline app that I have reviewed in the past. And they looked at each one and we did a few samples and then and the kids would come back and they'd see the samples and finally decide on the timeline as being the venue. I'm almost unanimous. This is the one that they can study with the most. But I was able to do that at the beginning of the year, and trying to do that in like December would have been tough.
So it's some ways I find it frustrating when you're starting all over again and you got to get all the learning curve going for products and whatever you're using, and everything's fine in a month or two, but you're like, maybe it isn't worth it. Oh, this is driving me crazy. But then it's like, oh, okay, they got it. Now they're moving along nicely and smoothly.
And a lot of what I've learned in becoming a better teacher has really come from being a dad. One thing I promised myself when I became a dad was I wasn't going to think short term. I was always going to ask myself, in 10 years, you know, which choice will I have wished I'd made? And I always make that choice, right? But what it has done inadvertently was really build up my patience. You know, I know that in order to get to the holy grail of kids really being able to use technology transparently, effectively, efficiently, and learning more than they could have learned before, is to go through that initial grind. I've got the patience for that now when I wouldn't have had before.
When we get older, we get more patience? Because essentially we have less time. We should have been more patient when we were younger. We had a lot of time.
I was asking my daughter this very question last week. Like, you're young and you have no patience and you want to get older. When you get older, you're like, yeah, well, everybody's got to die. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah, what's that? I don't know. Anyway.
Got to think long term.
Got to think long. Well, you know, there's an old Roman expression. He plants trees for another generation. Right, meaning in retirement, a lot of Romans would go back to the farms and manage the farms, and knowing that they weren't going to see, at least when it came to the orchards, they weren't going to see the fruits, but they're doing it for the next generation. It was just something you did. It was the right thing to do.
Right.
I think we get that, you know.
Because you enjoyed
it. Or we just realized.
You enjoyed the benefits of it yourself at one point, so.
Right. I think now maybe, or it could just be you realize there is nothing I'm going to do that's going to prevent me from dying, so. Yeah. Meh. I'll just be cool about it.
This is turning out to be an interesting podcast.
What a beautiful Friday reflection. Everyone's getting bummed out on their way to work. Oh, man. Nah, but true. I love life, and I embrace it, and I just think at the beginning of the year, that's the time to implement the new changes, without doubt. Yeah, that's it.
Gotcha. All right, so you want to implement new changes. For me, I actually think we should change the name of this to Things to Think About the Second Month of the School Year.
That you wished you remembered?
Well, because in the beginning, and especially, you know, like, again, I'm new, is, you know, things don't work. You know, projectors are not working, or a blog is not online, or parent emails are not in the system properly. And so it's all that. Just got to get all the tech issues out of the way so you can actually start doing something pedagogical. Because if the systems aren't working, then people are just going to, you know, they're not going to use it. So you have to take care of the basis.
Right.
You know, the basics at least. Then you can get things going from there. So now I'm in the second month and we're actually thinking about those sorts of things. And so for me, I think it'd be good after you get these routines going to think about what your goal or how you want to infuse maybe two digital infusion goals for the first semester between now and the winter break. So, for example, you can pull in the SAMR model. You can say, I want to use SAMR more. So how can I do that? How can I have people go from substitution to augmentation to modification or redefinition of how they use technology in the classroom. Maybe pick a couple of units and tackle them and go directly into them. Something like that.
Cool.
And then maybe next up you could set a mission for the year. One might be, here's an example, would be communication with students and parents will be streamlined. Then you have a goal. You can kind of, this is something you would work on as an overall learning coach. And then you would have, since you have that goal, then you start building systems to help with that. So at my school, I might use Flickr more effectively so teachers can take pictures of their kids and it'll go right up on their blog without a problem. Or use a WordPress website for weekly newsletters, or teach them how to use social bookmarking like Listly or Didlicious or Flipboard or Digo or something like that to allow them to communicate to parents and students at the touch of a button rather than sending out an email or a Google Doc or something like that. And all that stuff takes time to do. So it's a long-term thing to do maybe for the year or for half the year or whatever.
But you got to do a little bit. You got to start it.
Right. Because I know when I was younger, it was more like, oh, let me run to this, I'll run to that, and I try to go after everything that was interesting to me. And now I'm trying to go after one or two larger goals, and then there's sub-goals, of course, underneath it. And then you might feel good at the end if you get there.
That's true.
Assuming that you get there.
We're goal-driven.
Yeah. I think that's part of what you're supposed to do as a coach. It's that long-term planning. So when there's another opportunity to do professional development or something, you actually have something that will fit right in rather than, oh, what should I teach people this week?
Yeah, that never seems to work out too well.
That's definitely how I did in the past, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Been there. Any other tips?
No, just make sure you have good bandwidth when you're using Skype.
That's... Yeah.
Other than that, we're fine.
It sounds good now. Well, you know, we got cut off halfway through, but I think hopefully when piece it together, nobody's going to know.
Yeah, in fact, if you know the exact piece, you'll get a free something from us. It could be a free thank you. I don't know.
Right. So they just need to contact us, and they can do that at...
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Fantastic. All right, I think that's about it for this week. Shall we sign off and then talk to everybody again next week?
Leave us leave, Michael.
Okay. See ya. Have a good one.